1-2 Geek.
Technorama, episode 430, suspect number one.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where does Craig keep coming up with these crappy ideas for this slot in the show?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Crappy.
Good timing on the mute. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm feeling quite slighted.
We appreciate everything you do. But what you had in there for tonight had to be changed at the last minute because it wasn't exactly a question that you could ask the dude at the media corner.
Oh.
It was more of a statement.
You had to go with it, man. I get these things in my head. I get the vision. You know, I'm like a director. Just listen to me and do it. Entertain me, monkey.
Also joining us are a couple other monkeys in the studio. We have
Ben
and Keith.
Yay. And Keith is here.
Hey,
sounds just kind of like last week. We'll be able to continue the conversation.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, continuity. The listener can listen to last week's episode and just go into this one, and it'll be like 1 2-hour episode.
That's right.
But we don't want to inflict that much pain at any one time.
Because they might do this.
A listener, I should warn you that Keith is in charge of the sound effects tonight, so we'd appreciate your feedback, whether you want some of that, more of that,
or you want more or less.
The inmates are running the asylum this week.
And that's different from how.
Coming up in this episode, we have pancakes, Netflix, and Daleks. I think those three things are on my birthday list. That's coming up, too.
Not necessarily in that order.
Stay tuned.
This is Brian Brushwood, professional jackass and raconteur. You're watching Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Except you're not watching, you're listening. But you're watching with your ears, because your ears have eyes. And you need to see a medical professional about your ear eyes. That ain't right. Where's my beer?
Geek Thoughts.
Okay, let's write the SQL statement. Select all from users where clue is greater than 1. Results 0.
I think that SQL statement still holds up, right?
Yeah.
Timeless. Timeless. We don't have much timeless material on the show, but that one works.
Yeah. I think that one will last to the end of time.
What table did you select from? Users?
Yes.
Okay.
Notice I didn't say listeners.
I was going to say thank you very much for not including our listeners. We bash them enough on the show.
That's right.
No, we love your feedback, and we have some of that feedback. Let's play that lovely feedback music. Tearing the letter and all.
All together now.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Get ready.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
We have to work on the timing at this end. He didn't even have Skype latency to blame it on. We asked a couple weeks ago, what was your first computer experience? Almost sounds like we're asking about girlfriends or something with this one.
Well, I was in the backseat of a car.
That's so weird.
Do you remember
science.
Your first time? You remember your first time?
Dan D Man called in and he had this to say.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. My first experience with computers was probably back in early 80s where our school actually got...
It gets better. Don't worry about the jittery.
Apple food in there and had a computer class. And I think even we had an electronics teacher that had one before they had that class, but I don't quite recall if that's accurate. But, yeah, it was kind of like how Chuck explained earlier. Once you got on that thing, you kind of got obsessed with it and had to get in there. So it was a lot of time tinkering around with Apple IIs, and then fortunately it's launched my career into where it is today. And so that's interesting to think about. Like you said, that Craig's son has never lived in a life without computers. My son has never lived in a life without computers. He's 21.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, say happy birthday to your grandma. This is Dan the Man.
Must have been the week before I went to my mom's birthday.
Oh, I was like, huh?
Yeah, grandma died years ago.
Grace, she's been dead for 30 years.
We need a frame of reference, though. When you said it led you to where your career is now, you could be living in a van down by the river. We don't know.
No idea.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Dan, for calling in an old Apple II. It sounded like for a moment that it was he was calling us on that old Apple II, the way it was jittering in and out like that. Yeah. And I went, okay, time for an upgrade. No, that's your typical.
Yeah. I wrote an IP stack for this Apple II.
And oh, my.
Oh, finally got it online.
The 1 megahertz processor can't keep up. I fried the motherboard.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what was that?
Checked
your Skype. It didn't sound right.
Ralph emailed us. He says, Chuck and Craig. We got to work on the spelling. Boy, I must be old. That makes a few of us. I remember working with my roommate in college on writing the program and punching them on Hollerith cards.
Boy.
Yay. Yes. On this door.
Do we want golf clap or do we want...
The rain?
No, somebody flushed that men's room. Then promptly dropping the whole stack. Well, your program got scattered. World's worst editor, punch cards. My first personal machine was a TA-99-4A. Loved that machine, tape drive and all.
You said
TI-99.
I was reading ahead. 99-4A. You're right. TI. The T-1000.
Yay.
Tape drive and all. I spent days typing programs from magazines. Oh, typing the programs from the magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Oh.
Hey, I did Computes Gazette here, for my Commodore. There's been lots of programs I typed in out of that stupid magazine.
All right. Hey, we got three people in the chat room. We'll give them a shout out at the in a few minutes. But stick with us, people. We appreciate you being there live on the show. And if you want to be with us live, you can join us Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time, even though the rest of you change your clocks all around. We asked last week, what was last week's question, Keith?
What was the first thing you pirated?
Warning.
Yeah, exactly.
And we said we'd preserve your anonymity. So listener Jay wrote us a tweet, because I also am starting to put these questions out on Twitter just to get a little bit of reach in case nobody's listening anymore. Yeah. Listener Jay tweets, bootleg floppies with DOS games and apps.
Oh, I think a lot of computer users in the beginning were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Everybody was sharing programs, games.
Yep.
It was constant.
Even though there was copy protection on them, there was also the programs to break the copy protection.
So easy to break it.
Yep.
Hey, can I get a copy of that Leisure Suit Larry, please, man?
Did any of us actually answer this question? I don't think we did.
Not on the air we did.
Not on the air. No.
Do you care to share?
First thing I pirated is I was actually pirating Star Trek episodes on audio tape.
Audio tape?
Well, it was the days before home video.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Did you hold up that cassette recorder to the speaker on the TV?
I had a connector that went from the earphone jack that went straight into the microphone jack of the tape deck. So I was I was a burgeoning sound engineer at that time.
Pay attention, listener. He said earphone jack, not headphone jack.
It was an earphone jack, yes.
Earphone jack.
That's how
exactly.
Old this is.
Yes. Yes.
You know what? I thought you were going to totally... I've talked about this before, and I thought you were going to say the same thing, is that I had a tape little tape deck. I'm not sure. Or actually, I used my dad's stereo at first, but I would take his microphone and put masking tape all over the speaker grill on the TV and tape the microphone to it so I could record the episode. I was catching all the sound, you know, right in there. Yep. I did Star Trek and Speed Racer like that.
I did Holy Grail like that. But my actual first thing that I pirated, in air quotes, was I would go check out vinyl from the library and record on the video audio tape.
Oh, my.
Yep. Oh, I go to the library now. I look for audiobooks, and I've got my MacBook with me. And I'll rip the audiobook.
He doesn't even leave the door.
No, why should I? I found some really great Doctor Who audiobooks that way.
I bet you did. Yeah.
We got some nice listener feedback here.
Whoa. What was yours, Chuck?
Probably music on the radio. The first stereo component thing
really
I got.
Pirating.
Yes, it is.
You just record it.
Well, I'm not buying the music, but I'm listening to it a number of times later, complete with commercials and DJ interruptions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember my brother had one of the early Walkmans, and we would think it was funny because as you're listening to your favorite Billy Joel Glass Houses song or whatever it is, he would say, John DeLorean is still cooling his heels in a prison after his drug bust.
Yeah.
that puts a definite timestamp on that tape alone. Yes. Yeah. I love that stuff.
I think my first thing was a Commodore game. I can't think of which one. There were so many. But
I have a similar story about the Apple.
Yeah, there was one or 200.
Should we go to our nice listener message here? We have Jeremy Shadowbird writes, apparently this subject was titled Power Rangers. And if you want to see Dark Power Rangers, because remember we were talking about the guy who was making the Power Rangers thing illegally, and we got it.
And you're not talking about the guy in the black suit.
No. If you want to see it done right with all the usual Power Rangers comedy and kid appeal intact, watch RPM. Should I be installing Fedora apps or something here?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's the latest of the Disney run, and it's up on Netflix. Storyline is among the most serious in the franchise for both Saban's two runs, thank you, and Disney's. Stop editing while I'm trying to read here.
Sorry.
But the characters have good development over the course of the series.
Okay, I'm going to check that out.
Point number two. He's got three of them here. Question of the week. First thing I ever pirated were Super NES ROMs. I found that surprising. He said, when I was in high school, I was directed to sites that had Super NES emulators and ROMs, and I download them both at school and at home to play during any
Wait
downtime.
A minute. He was in high school and he's talking about sites, like websites.
Or FTP, I don't know.
Youngin.
Archie.
Gopher.
Gopher, the 18-month internet wonder. It was like the Pony Express of the internet.
Yeah.
It is. Really, it lasts like 18 months.
Yeah.
Point number three, it's been a while since I've actually gotten to listen to the show, but I'm happy to finally be back as a regular Technorama listener. I mentioned this on Twitter under the Thank a Creator hashtag, but it bears repeating, Chuck and Craig. You guys are the two biggest and longest lasting influences of my love for podcasting. Last month, I started up a podcast with my, quote, little brother / best friend, which, for modesty's sake, I will not blatantly shill.
No, come on.
Send us a promo when you got
Please,
one.
No kidding.
Hey, we're podcasters.
Hey, we've done it.
We're not above that.
Right. Shameless promotion is the only way.
It's called cross-pollination.
Yes, there you go.
Five episodes in, as of the time you read this on air, I realized just how much I was influenced by Technorama. Oh, what a shame.
And you're admitting this.
Well, we are considerably more long-winded. Our podcasts hang around 2 hours. We tend to have a friendlier banter style, not unlike you guys. For all your inspiration, thank you both so much. Rock on, y'all.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
I would like to say, tell us what it is. I'm kind of curious. I'm always looking for new podcasts to listen to. Yeah.
You bet.
And we shamelessly cross-pollinate our
Absolutely.
Yeah. With everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for sending. Yes. You can talk over the music.
I was going to say, word of mouth is what built podcasting.
Absolutely. That's true. Because we didn't have FTP, Archie, or Gopher sites when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We had the US mail.
Yeah, we had
mail.
WOM.
Yeah, snail mail.
Send your letters to, you know, give a post office address. That's how I became a Mystery Science Theater fan. I had to write to that Hopkins, Minnesota.
Oh, my word.
I still have my orange card. But anyway.
Actually, I was watching an episode, is it on YouTube or something? And at the end, they flashed the address. I wonder if I still write to that address, if it would work.
I laughed because at Thanksgiving they did the Turkey Day Marathon again.
And there was
the Hopkins, Minnesota.
Oh wow,
address
that's probably where I saw it.
Yeah, I wonder they might use that for riff tracks now.
That's funny. Knows? Let's move on to the history. On this day in history for March 30th, who changed that? No, it's the 18th. What kind of editing is going on here? This is the 77th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 288 days remaining in 2015. I know that's right, at least. It was on this date in 1850 that American Express, get this, is founded by two names you will find very familiar, Henry Wells and William Fargo.
Wells Fargo.
There's a story behind that somewhere that I want to dig into.
It rings a bell, but I can't place it.
Go on, Craig.
All right, March 18th, 1906. Yeah, you gave me this on purpose.
Try it out anyway.
Triane Vua. I'm a
move along.
It flies
before you hurt yourself.
Heavier than air. Huh? Yeah, I'm gonna hurt myself. Flies a heavier than air aircraft for 11 meters at an altitude of 1 meter.
Does that even constitute an altitude? 1 meter
altitude.
It's more than zero.
Okay, let's see. Oh, this isn't any better. The human-powered aircraft, Pitiliante, I have no idea that's right, flies 1 kilometer or 0.62 miles outside Milan 78 years ago today.
Woohoo!
The same date in 1965, cosmonaut Alexei Leonov, leaving his spacecraft, the
what is up with this?
For 12 minutes, becomes the first person to walk in space.
No one will ever remember his name. No. Maybe in Russia they do. Also on this day in 1968, the gold standard, the U.S. Congress repeals the requirement for a gold reserve to back U.S. currency. Wow, that's when they said no more gold. Happy birthday goes out on this date to several mathematicians in order of their birth. French mathematicians Jacques de Billy. Now, I get it. Here it goes. In 1602, and Philippe de la Haye in 1640, and Prussian mathematician Christian Goldbach in 1690. Take that.
An American engineer and architect Nathaniel Green Hairson. What is it with the names in this today?
It was
born on this date in 1848. What does he care if
this
I get
is crazy
wrong?
Name day.
Yeah. And the man who invented the diesel engine, Rudolf Diesel, what a coincidence, was born March 18th, 1848.
Also born today in 1898, co-founder of Grumman Aircraft Engineering Corporation, Jack Swerble.
Hi, it wasn't somebody named Grumman.
Jake.
Actor Peter Graves would have been 89 today.
Jimmy, Joey, have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Here, let's see if I can't screw this up. Dick Smith, who founded Dick Schmidt.
Dick Smith.
Yes.
You did it.
Electronics.
Yay.
An Australian geographic. What? An Australian. What? Oh, wait. Australian. Never mind.
What?
You were moving the text around. I was trying.
Who wants the last one?
Just read something.
And finally, all of the best, one of our favorite voice actors and TV hosts, Mike Rowe, who is now 53 years old. I'm sorry, I was laughing too hard.
That was like the last piece of pizza after everything got cold.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And that's the way it was on this date in history for date, because Chuck forgot to fill in the March 18th, 2015.
Insert date here.
All right, news. We'll take a quick news.
Oh, great news, everyone.
That was a little low, but we'll get back to that later. We have news from the BBC. Now, years ago, they did a project. You know what? I'm going to let somebody else read this. It's because it's just a cool story. Anybody?
Keith. Go for it, Keith.
Okay.
Keith's a good reader.
It's the first year of a major new coding curriculum in the UK, and now the BBC wants to play its part in the training of the next generation of star programmers.
Yay.
The broadcaster is developing a spiritual successor to the BBC Micro called the Microbit, which will give students a physical companion in their path to coding competence. It's going to be a small, standalone device with an LED display that children can carry around with them and plug into a computer to continue their work. The hardware will be basic, as the BBC calls it, a starting point for more complex devices, as the Raspberry Pi and Kickstarter-funded Kano
sounds right.
Anyway, pay no attention to the man in the corner. The project is still in a prototype phase, but the BBC claims it'll be ready to give away 1 million of the new microcomputers to year 7 students this autumn.
1 million.
1 million.
Is that the British million? Because there's like million, millions, and thousand millions, and...
Million?
Anyway.
1 million. I don't know.
This is cool, because they did this years ago with this thing they called the BBC Micro, where they gave out microcomputers. They were very simplistic, but they taught a lot of kids, and they got them introduced to the technology. And now they're giving out these little, almost like Arduino-sized things. If you're watching the video, you saw the circuit board on there. It's got like 25 LEDs, a little processor, a USB port cool. So you can program into it. So you write your program on a normal computer. I don't know if it's Windows or Macs or what's going on. But then you download it and watch it run. So I can see teaching them basic logic exercises.
This is very good. I wish they had something like this when I was going to school. Well, technology wasn't quite there.
I know. Well, like the Raspberry Pi, I think that's such a cool low barrier to entry kind of thing, you know, with only $35. It's easy to pick one up and do something interesting, even program on it. So those kind of projects like this and the Pi are fantastic.
I don't know what this thing's supposed to mount to, but it looks like he's got about 8 holes to screw this onto a 2x4 or something.
Yeah, there we go. I'm going to carry this 2x4 around.
Don't lose your computer.
Yeah.
Mount it to a piece of wood.
It looks like it works with a micro USB or something.
Yeah, that looks like a standard micro USB. Probably provides power and or, you know, the communication data transfer, right?
Yeah.
A couple of micro switches.
Not USB-C.
You know,
didn't come out in time.
Oh, darn.
When you were reading it, Keith, I saw that they mentioned you can program on it and carry it around to the next computer. And I was thinking, that sounds like a USB drive.
Mm-hmm. You know. That's what, yeah. That's what it is.
We already have those.
What we also already have is Barbie dolls and...
the creepy Barbie
doll. Did you hear about the creepy Barbie doll?
I heard about the creepy Barbie doll.
Would you like to tell our viewers about the creepy Barbie doll?
Well, let's see. The way it's written here. Some child advocates are clamoring for Mattel to halt production of a new smart, in air quotes, Barbie that can have conversations with your kid. The Barbie's powered by voice recognition AI that's becoming increasingly prevalent in our everyday gadgets.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean it freaks people out.
Wait, read on.
Especially when kids are involved. At last month's Toy Fair, one of the standout new playthings was Hello Barbie, a new version of the classic doll with brains that let her listen to a statement or question from a kid and then respond appropriately. Over time, Hello Barbie learns what you like and tailors conversation to those tastes and preferences. The demos on the show floor were quite impressive.
Hey, it learns your likes and preferences, and then in the middle of the night, it uses your Wi-Fi and uploads it to the government.
You're not too far off. The tech behind Barbie's brains, developed by a company called Toy Talk, works basically just like Apple's Siri voice assistant, except that it's designed to listen to the way kids talk instead of the way adults talk. Though AI of this kind has been around for years, the fact that it's in a toy has both privacy and children's activists all up in a huff. So they're listening and they're tailoring the conversation, but there's no control over who's watching it, because it has to be, the conversation has to be uploaded to Mattel servers so that it can analyze it and tailor the conversation back. So... warning, right.
Ow.
So warn me. Sorry. Keith's Barbie might be having a totally different conversation as he talks to it over time than, say, my Barbie.
You know, but what I can see really one very, very good thing for this, especially for girls, and that is, not to put a really bad damper on all of this, but children who've been through abuse.
So they're going to talk to their doll?
It could be a good form of therapy. Okay. Because they're afraid to talk to adults in many times.
But then you get into
there's a whole
privacy issue as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, HIPAA wouldn't necessarily. We deal with HIPAA all the time.
Yeah, what do you do if you've got a kid who's got cancer treatment going on and he's talking to the Barbie doll?
Yeah, or you've got abuse going on and it loads up to the servers.
Can you wipe Barbie?
Wow, this gives a whole new meaning to the show Dollhouse, doesn't it?
I'm not sure where to go from there.
What I'm saying is, what happens when you go to give the doll away?
Yeah, I guess you have to...
A factory reset. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Can you wipe Barbie?
This is starting to get really creepy.
I think we need an explicit tag.
It worked. It sounded better in my head. How about that?
It is bordering on that science fiction kind of thing. Yeah. But it does bring up some interesting privacy, like we said. You know, the cancer kids, abuse kids, you know, there are some kids with some real issues out there. And you're right. It sounds great that they have somebody or something to communicate with. But what's happening to that data on the back end?
Exactly. Right. Because
it's a Furby for crying.
You get somebody unscrupulous. You know,
take advantage of it.
That takes advantage of that. Or,
I hadn't even thought of that.
But
it's the whole privacy thing. And then what about the kid that's experiencing abuse and talks to Barbie about it? So, I mean, you're kind of legally bound to call the cops or Child Protective Services or whatever, you know.
Yeah, right? This would be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, that could be.
Hey, remember the Furby ban? Didn't they ban it at the Pentagon?
Furbies? They didn't even speak English.
No, wait. The Furby would actually record you and play it back.
Yeah.
I was trying to look and see if they actually did that, but I think they did. But why would you take one to work at the Pentagon?
Good point.
What are you doing? Bringing your doll in here?
All right, let's look at the birthday calendar. We have a lot of them this week. We have March 18th, Gregory Lemon from greglemon.com. JT Shea, our friend, who's now way past 40, but the calendar doesn't seem to think so, is on the 19th. Also on the 19th,
he doesn't either.
This is not on our calendar, but I'm hijacking it from other sources now, is our good friend Michael R. Menengay.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike. I mean,
good friend, I suggest it's a little close. I'm just kidding.
The very next day is Brian Richardson from DragonCon TV and What the Cast. Is he from anything else? Did I miss something? I thought he had something going on there. Crazy Joe is on the 21st. He's coming up from Megapodzilla. Hey. The 23rd, we have three birthdays. Steve Ricky Berg, a.k.a. Missing Intellect, from Geek Cred. Also on the 23rd, Richard Parkman. And finally, Doug Kay from the Conversations Network. We haven't heard from him in a long time, but like I said, not all of these are on our wiki, but if you want to be on our wiki, go to chuckchat.com/wiki and put your name there. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it is your birthday this week and you just didn't happen to get around to it this year, or I didn't steal it from other sources, you don't have an opt out on this thing, by the way. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. We wish you all the best and happy birthday. Let's take a quick break
while
I reset my ROMs.
Can you wipe Chuck?
We're going to do a factory reset and see if we can fix Keith's headphone issue too. We'll be right back with Hacks and Strange Stories and everything else you love.
Whoa, cool. That Xbox hack worked. I was able to travel through time. Now just to calm myself and give myself a few choice tips for the next decade.
Hello?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Who is this?
It's me, Craig.
But I'm Craig.
I'm Craig from the future. I've actually come to give you some stock tips and stuff.
But if you're Craig, then who am I?
No, I'm the real Craig. I came from the future to tell you something.
Well, if you're Craig, then who am I?
Look, just forget all that. I'm getting a headache already. Listen. Well, there's a couple of things. First, when Yahoo and another company called Google, when they go public, I want you to be there when that happens.
Sure.
That'll set us up. And right. When you hear this podcasting thing come around, just do the show by yourself and don't worry about a co-host. This guy named Chuck Tomasi, he's a hack.
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Gay, and you are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Hey, apparently I don't listen to myself.
What, saying I'm a hack?
Yeah, no, I took the co-host anyway. Oh, well.
you forgot the memo. It was one of those, hey. I woke up the next morning and I can't remember my dream.
But I did buy some Yahoo and Google stock. Yay.
So you got that going for you.
So now you have a rich co-host.
Let's take a look at the hacks and strange stories. First thing we don't need in our kitchen is a robotic pancake maker.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Where's the fun in making pancakes now, then?
Well, I have to admit, as a father, I've often had requests of odd-shaped pancakes that are impossible to make with just a plain old ladle or spoon or something.
Can you do a brain, Chuck? Can you do a brain?
This combines the technologies of a 3D printer. With a pancake griddle. We've all been there, awake on some ludicrously early hour on a Saturday morning, no less, slaving away over a hot griddle only to have your pancakes snubbed because they're too circular. Next time, impress your brood by frying up some custom-designed flapjacks using this robotic pancake printer. It's called the Pancake Bot, of course. This device combines an electric griddle with a patent-pending batter dispensing system to effectively print out pancakes virtually any shape you can imagine or at least trace. What's going on over there? I hear all kinds of popping and things.
I have no idea.
Yeah, and Siri's trying to activate. What the heck?
He's messing with his iPad. We're going to have to take the sound effects away from him.
Yeah.
Hey, when I made pancakes for Harrison, he'd say, What shape is this, Dad? It's an amoeba.
An amoeba.
It's a cloud. What do you see?
Wow. It's this.
Is it that? Is that what's knocking out your headphones?
Yeah.
Ah. Ooh. Mm. Ah.
That far popping. Up.
Oh, there
wow.
we go.
Sorry, Merry
Christmas.
You want me to back that down a bit?
Holy moly. He's turning the volume down.
Back to the pancake bot.
Wait a minute. Are y'all talking? I can't hear.
What?
The process is fairly straightforward. Use the included software to trace/create a design. Transfer that image file from your computer to the machine via an SD card. Oh, why don't you just hook up a USB cable or something?
Yeah, really.
And then just wait. Well, because you probably won't want your laptop next to the stove. So
it's a good idea. Yeah.
I've often gotten my laptop mixed up with my waffle griddle, and I get burned fingertips or battered keyboard or something.
So now that's how I managed to ruin my Mac.
Pancakes bought, they're already raised. They doubled its $50,000 crowdfunding goal. This device is expected to retail for $300 when it ships in July, but you still have 28 days as of the time of this article to pre-order one for half that price through Kickstarter. You want a $150 custom pancake maker?
Well, if I can get one that can make a pancake that sort of looks like the Chrysler building, sure, why the heck not?
This sounds like a Tim Adamek thing.
I think he would be so in on this.
Good. All right. Also, in our hacks, we have one that I just could not let go.
Speaking of hacks.
Yeah. I wasn't talking about Tim specifically. What were you talking about?
No, nothing.
Did you guys own an NES?
No.
Okay. Well, you remember it was kind of a low power gaming system, but did the job with the cartridges and things.
Well, you don't have to own one to have been aware of it.
Did you have a Super NES? This is like a regular Nintendo.
I had the original.
Yeah.
The one that you couldn't ever get. At Christmas. And I got one the day after Christmas. Ooh. Somebody returned it.
So. Well, we all
That's
get
the best kind.
You're a Nintendo owner? You read on then, Keith.
Oh, well, my turn, huh?
Yeah.
We all get nostalgic for legacy tech, but we also probably wouldn't want to give up our smartphones and advanced graphics for the gizmos of yore. But what if you could watch Netflix on a classic Nintendo entertainment system? Problem solved.
Yeah, why would I want to?
I have to have a sound effect for that.
Yeah, it would look.
There we go.
It would look just like the video.
Yikes, so criminy.
And that's not pixelated because of the monitor in here either.
Yeah. Oh, gee.
White, is gray, that... black, and blue.
There you go.
And you can kind of see the House of Cards logo.
Sort of, kind of. Yeah.
It looks like Kevin Spacey's profile.
Well, that'd be far out if I had a game of Pong playing over it.
Yeah. No, that was the first game, yeah. Ooh. Long years ago. That wasn't Nintendo. That was
Atari.
Atari, yeah.
This is just one of those things that they did because they could.
Yeah.
But I question, why don't we have people with this much time on their hands doing something a little more productive for humanity?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like the Windows 95 on the
smartwatch.
Yeah. Yeah. Really?
Because you could.
You know, exactly. I've done my fair share of, you know, applications that suit a purpose, and it sometimes the audience is just me. But really, it was to optimize a process or save time. I don't know what the value of this other than entertainment.
I can see people doing that kind of thing if no technology like that already exists, because then maybe it could spur on other ideas and maybe steer you in a new direction to make, you know, perfect the technology. But we already have Netflix streaming on various devices. I mean, you got it on Blu-ray players. You've got it on Apple TV. You've got it on your Roku. So
you got it on your iPhone.
On your iPhone. On your... So why heck would you... Why
can
you
I get this running on my Merlin?
I could see one value of this: resume fodder. If you were applying for a position that was doing like embedded systems programming or custom applications,
one day, guess what we did?
Yeah. Right.
I can see that.
That could impress somebody. It's like when I was younger, the fact that I had a network of computers of mixed varieties and operating systems and architectures in my basement meant that I was truly interested in that topic. That it lent itself to my career progression. Mm-hmm. So maybe this would have that kind of value to somebody.
Possibly.
Well, you sounded like a lot of fun in college.
I was.
Back in my day, we wasted time with beer and, you know, whatever else was around. Now we got
land parties.
Y'all are hacking on kids for wasting their time hacking a box.
It's from 1980, man. I have to imagine the challenges were pretty steep on this project.
Yeah.
Kids, get out of the lab and get a beer.
Just getting the software to keep up. I mean,
wow.
I have problems with the Apple II every once in a while spooling. You know, it gets it pauses while the video catches up. I can't imagine.
Flywheel of death.
And they've got, what, 256K of memory to try and write a Netflix program on this thing. That's not a lot of memory, folks.
Well, like you said, if you're doing it just for resume fodder, okay, well, I can kind of get that, but there's no practical application.
Nobody should need more than 64K of memory.
Hey, Bill Gates said it.
You're missing the larger point. It has nothing to do with the video or the quality. How did they hook it up to the internet? Who's a stupid now?
wait. What sorts of inputs were on the NES? They had the cartridge, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Was there any kind of other slots or anything?
No. Not that I can remember.
I know that the ones I've seen people do on the Commodore 64, they've utilized that cartridge, that expansion slot, you know, and done something with that. But I don't know how they did that. So they spend a lot more time than just software.
Okay, we have four or five stories left to go, and we are cranking through the time now.
All right, and by the way, I'm gonna go back a little bit in the chat, and I see Tim is there, Madmar, Scott Tyler, Jeremy Keel.
Yep.
I
think that was it for tonight.
And I'm gonna go back to some of the comments real quick.
Slowly rebuilding the audience.
Yeah, put it next to the 3D. They want 3D ice cream makers.
That
could be interesting.
Keeping it cold, but yet fluid enough to go through the nozzle. You'd have to have it in a cold environment, but yet the nozzle would have to be hot. So you, I'm overthinking this.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you're capping on the kids for doing the.
I didn't say I was going to go in my garage and make a 3D ice cream printer.
All right. So, Scott Tyler says he's deaf, he's going to sue.
Was that my...
Oh, dear.
Oh. Sorry about that.
Mad Morph, he asks, how does it flip the pancakes?
Hey.
I think you have to do that yourself.
Do that yourself.
But, whoa.
After it's already poured out.
Yeah. So it's only going to pour one side?
Yeah, maybe. Mm. And then Kyle also asked, hey, how'd they get Silverlight to run on NES? Yeah.
Now, we talked about job resume fodder and jobs. If you were going to do a Remember When thing, I forgot the Remember When segment. Where is it?
Here.
Jumped ahead again. And we have to talk so that YouTube doesn't catch us playing that music again. All right. If you were interviewing with Thomas Edison back in the day, whenever that was, when he was alive, he would ask a series of questions that had nothing to do with your job position. He just wanted to know if you were a smart individual or not. And here are some of the questions you could prepare. I'm not going to read all 148 of them.
Holy cow.
46, excuse me.
That's nuts.
But we'll take a small sampling of them just so you get an idea what kind of interviewee he was.
Ouch.
This would not work today. Here's a question. What countries bound France?
England. Spain and Belgium.
Oh, there's way more than that.
Uruguay?
I don't know them all.
Paraguay?
No.
Paraguay.
Spain, the tiny independent state of Andorra in the Pyrenees, Monaco, Italy, Switzerland, Germany, Luxembourg, and Belgium. How about that? All right. Let's go down for a little bit more. What is the name of the large inland body of water that has no outlet?
The Great Salt Lake.
Yay.
Oh, I'm not supposed to read the answers.
What is the capital of Pennsylvania?
Blue.
No, red.
Assyria.
Assyria. What is the capital of Assyria?
Who invented the typesetting machine?
Gutenberg.
No.
I just took a stab.
Mergenthaler was the first to perfect a highly practical one.
Never heard of
that. Me neither. How is leather tanned?
In the sun.
That was going to be my guess, actually.
It goes to a tanning salon, of course. I really want to. This is one of my sick and twisted things I want to do at some point, is go to a tanning salon where they just see the neon sign that says tanning and bring in something like deer hide and say, go for
it,
man.
Can you tan this for me?
Well, we got to get cameras on that.
Yeah.
Your sign is clearly false advertising here.
Where do we import figs?
I'm from Figland.
Figland. There we go.
Figland.
Where is Kenosha? In Wisconsin, of course.
Do you know where Kenosha is?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I would hope you do.
It was right next to Racine.
Racine.
What is felt? Oh, something you just touched.
That should have been a ding.
Name three principal acids.
Principal asses.
Acids.
See. Oh, acid.
Good Lord.
LSD.
This is turning into a Cards Against Humanity game.
Oh, my God. Don't even go there.
Batman. I mean, what do these...
Wow.
Okay.
These are the strangest review questions.
Well, yeah, I would not want to be in an interview with this man. I would say, you know, does this have anything to really do with inventing a phonograph?
Hey, if somebody could answer this one, they probably wouldn't hire him. Name three powerful poisons.
But Mr. Edison, I just put Netflix on an NES. Doesn't that impress you?
Maybe.
And we have some pictures on the live feed tonight, but Craig has put in a link to, you can watch the laptop evolve over 27 years in just one simple animated GIF. Stop taking your 4-pound laptop for granted. Your forefathers had to carry 24-pound laptops to school, uphill, both ways.
In the snow.
Barefoot.
Oh, that coming.
Barefoot, yeah. This helpful reminder comes via blog post at the Tech Professional Networking site Experts Exchange, detailing how the laptop has changed since the first portable computer was introduced in 1981. The first laptop, the Osborne 1, I argue that this was not a laptop because it would crush your legs.
No kidding.
It weighed 24 pounds.
At least kill the circulation.
I saw one of these in real life one time. Look at that lovely 4-inch screen. My phone's got a bigger screen than that 24-pound beast. It sold for $17.95 at the time. That's around $4,500 adjusted for inflation. In contrast, Apple's sleekest laptop today, the MacBook Air, weighs that's a little outdated since the announcement last week, weighs less than 3 pounds and costs $899 to $1,199, depending on the size and storage. And this animated GIF goes through quite a few of them. Apple included the compact luggables, and the pricing on some of these is just astounding because some of these early computers were up around the $8,000 range or $6,500. Yeah. But they were elegant and sleek at the time, and many of them have I laid hands on and have fond memories. In fact, there used to be some of these in my basement until recently when we had to move. So it's just, it's crazy. The Osborne
One.
Now
you don't have a basement.
How much memory was in the Osborne One, Craig?
In the Osborne One?
Yeah.
Oh, 64K?
Yeah. And a modern MacBook Pro has 8 gigabytes.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to like take a stack of pennies, let's say that one penny was 64K, you know how many pennies it would take to make 8 gig? Lots.
The world may never know.
I'm not going to count them up.
Hey, wait a minute. My MacBook Pro has 16 gigs.
What?
You got a MacBook Pro. This was the MacBook Air.
You just mentioned a modern MacBook Pro has 8 gigs.
Its standard is 8. We've been upgraded for work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I can't get
I'm just eight, saying. 16 no, I'm just saying, but there, it's got 16 gigs in it.
In the media corner, we found out this week welcome that Springfield...
Hey, sorry. Where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
You are interrupting the customer.
Yeah.
How dare you?
This is the craziest story.
I love this. We were talking about this last night at the pie party. We had a pie party on 314. That was a lot of fun.
It's not really pie.
Springfield, Illinois just gave the key to the city to Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander.
Oh, I'm sure you're
just loving this one.
No, this is for real.
This is for real.
For real. Okay. In a decision that can't possibly have any negative repercussions
what
for the
possibly
city,
go wrong?
For the city's helpless residents, Springfield, Illinois Mayor J. Michael Houston has given the key to the city to noted terrorist leader and snake enthusiast Cobra
snake
Commander.
Enthusiast.
Ostensibly, this was done as a promotion for the upcoming JoeCon, the G.I. Joe Collectors Convention, which will be held in Springfield on April 9th through the 12th. But I think we all know Cobra Commander is plotting something.
Warning!
Joe's fans likely remember that Springfield housed a secret Cobra base in the original cartoon seen in the memorable and quite scarring two-part first season finale, There's No Place Like Springfield, and has been popping up in G.I. Joe lore ever since. In the original episodes, Cobra filled the entire town with secret agents in disguise and used the innocent-looking town to try and trick Shipwreck into believing he wasn't a member of G.I. Joe, but a normal family man.
Ward Cleaver?
Basically. And then they tried to mentally traumatize him by forcing him to watch his wife and children literally melt before his eyes in a house fire. It was truly messed up. So I fully expect some actual residents of Springfield to likewise melt before the convention ends. So, sorry, folks. You have no one to blame but the mayor.
And you have just entered.
He's under the control of the Cobra Commander.
If we have any listeners that are going to JoeCon April 9th through 12th, we want you to let us know. Tell us what you think about it. And I can't say what just came to mind. I wanted you to do something nasty to Cobra Commander, but that I don't want to influence you.
I imagine, you know what I like to think when I see this picture? That about 5 minutes before this, somebody informed the mayor who Cobra Commander is. They had no idea. You know he didn't.
He may have. I mean, every G.I. Joe's been around forever.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Look.
Hey, I remember G.I. Joe.
I mean, let's put it this way. I never really got into G.I. Joe, at least this incarnation of him. I had like a G.I. Joe dude.
Right.
You know,
that was one that was one of the expensive toys that I wasn't allowed to play with.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got the cheap knockoffs.
Let's put it this way. It wasn't mine. It was some other kids. I played with it and said, okay, that's cool.
All right, let's go on. You found some lovely pictures, which I'm not going to show all of them, but we do have something for the video feed to let their eyes feast upon. And if you want to follow the links through the show notes, you can look at this too. Tell us what you found.
All right. So what this is an artist had taken some pictures of the USS Enterprise, the TOS version, and it's setting in the Smithsonian. They have taken it down to refurbish it. Apparently it's in bad disrepair, which I'm surprised they let it get that far, but that's the tangent. Nonetheless, anyway, so he took pictures of it and placed the original Enterprise in the movie settings, like scenes from the movies.
Oh, which okay.
I think they're really cool. Like there's a scene inside of V'ger, Spock's outside, spacewalker.
In his beekeeper outfit. Yeah.
his beekeeper outfit.
That's what it is.
But yeah, and actually, if you look at Spock, that's the kind of suit from the TOS also, not the one he was in, which is cool. See, of course, them facing off against Khan with Reliant in the distance. And there they are coming into space dock. And one of my favorite scenes is the warp scene from the original movie. I like the way that ship went into
the 70s disco scene.
Yep. Yeah. I did like that. That was cool the way it went into warp. So anyway, they show it going into its wormhole or worm, the worm
going into warp.
Yeah.
Warp hole.
And then of course and then they start going into the newer version of Star Trek. There's the one and Ganymede? Is that the moon around Saturn?
Titan.
Titan. They're coming up the clouds on Titan, and then there's the one on the red planet, and then there's the other one coming up from the last movie. So it's really cool. I think it looks great, and I think it shows that the old Enterprise kind of holds up still.
It looks better than any other Enterprise that they created for the movies.
You think so?
I think so.
Like the new one with the big shoulder pads and nacelles?
I hate it. Okay. It's one of the ugliest things I've ever seen, and it makes me cry every time I watch it.
I wouldn't say I hate it, but I will say that I like it less than the previous versions. Like, I love the Enterprise D. We had this discussion on J.C. Hutchins posted that on Facebook. What was your favorite Enterprise? I was like, well, I'm kind of torn. I like the TOS and also like the Enterprise D. I can't really choose between the two myself personally. But I did like the nacelles and the way it looked in the motion picture.
Yeah.
The vertical rectangles.
Yeah. Not too bad. But I don't know. When I look at the photos that this person created, the way he superimposed the original Enterprise, I mean, all I could do was just take a look and say, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
It is. I agree. Yeah, it's great.
Yes, the new ships are stressing out Ben. I think he needs a relaxation here.
Oh, and yeah.
We've got the Dalek relaxation tape available to us.
Welcome to Dalek relaxation for humans.
Try and go to sleep with that.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath in through your nose. Now exhale through your mouth softly. Focus on slowing down your breathing into a calm rhythm. Inhale. You are becoming more and more calm. Exhale.
It's working.
Inhale, calm.
Imagine listening to this exhale. While you're getting a massage.
Inhale, calm.
And the
imagery on the YouTube video is killing me.
It just keeps flashing. It's more stressful than the imagery.
Inhale, calm. Exhale,
pictures of the woods.
Okay. All right.
That's the end.
Hey,
it works.
What's so funny is that they would show this beautiful, beautiful scenery of like the sunset, a lake, the forest, and then they cut to a Dalek.
He keeps jumping in there like every half second, so it gets more and more stressful just watching this.
And it's and the clips go faster and faster and faster.
That's funny.
I feel totally relaxed.
So let's skip back a little bit. I'm looking at the comments since there's a little bit of lag here. So just to catch up, I'm going to read them really fast and y'all can figure out what
it goes with.
Here. So here you go. It was a story from last year, guys. Okay, not sure what that is. I'm back, but my audio totally crapped out. Had to reboot. Cards Against Technorama.
Oh,
oh my word.
Oh, hey.
Hey, I want to know how many pennies that is. I'm waiting for Tau Day, 6/28, so I can have two pie.
Two pie.
Two pie is the day after the pool party, so we're going to have to figure something out for
two
that.
Pie two pie minus one.
Two pie minus one.
Two pie minus one.
That, I thought that was the rapper.
Two pie?
Two pie, so sure.
Yeah.
Oh, and Jeremy says, shut up and take my money.
We can tell you. We can help you with that. Yes. Yeah. You can.
Where's your sister's cue at?
Give us, yes. Oh, here. We'll do that. We'll do the. Oh, I should have done the voiceover right there. Here. Stop the band.
Stop, guys.
We have to.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
We didn't have a question this week. A listener question.
What Enterprise did you care for?
There we go.
What's your favorite Enterprise?
What's your favorite Enterprise? We want to hear from you. Call the listener line 206-222-2428 or send us an email.
Send your comments to technorama@chuckchat.com.
Yay!
Yay!
Now we can re-engage the band. There!
You're going to have to get her to say Technorama, not
I know. Technorama. When she comes out to visit, we'll take care of that on a professional grade system.
That's
listen to the show. You can sit there and, you should put up like signs that say Technorama. Like with the two dots over the A or something.
Or do a really horrible edit over it. Technorama.
that's next. Send your comments to
Technorama.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you giving us your time, as I said at the top of the show. Thank you, Ben.
No, my pleasure.
Thank you, Keith.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having us.
And let us know what you think. Thank you for everybody hanging out in the chat room. Join us Sunday nights at 9:30. We want to see you there. We'll be around. Till next time, give me a binary high five, Craig.
101. Exterminate.
Well, that goes without saying.